This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Tyler McCall, Gossip Girl historian, and we are rewatching Carnal Knowledge.
Welcome back, listeners, to your one and only source into all things Gossip Girl. You know you'll love it. XOXO.
Hey everyone, welcome back to XOXO. I'm your host, Jessica Zor. Today we're getting into another Gossip Girl rewatch, season 2, episode 17. Okay, this is a crazy one. Perfect student Blair Waldorf gets expelled and has a plan to take down her teacher, the infamous Rachel Carr. I also totally forgot about something insane and probably illegal that happens with Dan and Miss Carr. And I couldn't believe it while I was watching. So we definitely have a lot to unpack. If you can't read between the lines there, well, just watch the episode. Back to offer her expertise and emotional support is Gossip Girl historian Tyler McCall. Tyler always has great things to add and honestly may know the show better than anyone. She's a great fit for this episode and going to fill in any gaps from fashion to relationships to the wacky storylines. All right, let's jump right in. Tyler McCall, everyone. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing so well. When that countdown goes down, it's like, even if I know and where it's happening and we have a time, I'm still like, oh my God, I've got 5 seconds, you know?
I know. It's like, oh, I'm not ready yet. I know.
I'm like, I'm not ready. I'm like, did I watch the episode? No,
I have the same thing where I'm like, shit, did I watch the right episode?
So how have you been?
I've been really good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm loving having you back. The fans are loving having you as much as I am, just because you just know the show so well and your input's so great. And you just have a real ease.
I feel
like I get super excited and I'm like, mur. But I also think that's because I've never watched this show.
Yeah. So you're getting really get into it for the first time.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting.
So everyone, we have Tyler McCall here back to do the rewatch of season 2, episode 17, Carnal Knowledge, which is based on the 1971 film starring Jack Nicholson and Candace Bergen.
Yeah.
Bergen. Okay. Amazing. I have not seen that film, so I should probably check that out. So also, okay, this episode, this episode really stuck out to me in a way. This was a really wild episode for me.
I mean, it's a really wild episode.
I mean, for sure. It is. like, also, even when the episode begins, like, Blair just wearing the red jacket while she's doing, like, is it community service? Like, I'm like, you look fierce, girl. Fierce. And I have a question for you. It's a fan question that came in. If you were doing community service, what would you wear? And what would Vanessa wear? And what do you think Serena would wear?
So, I mean, realistically, I would end up wearing just my normal, like, girlfriend collective sweatpants activewear because I'm just too practical. I wish I could say that I would do something really fun, but I wouldn't.
Like that. Like, for something like that, I think practical and kind of hitting it on the nose of what it is, I think works in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it feels more appropriate.
It feels right.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would Vanessa wear? I feel like Vanessa – okay. So Vanessa had like a really cool sneaker collection, I feel
she
like.
She did. She sure
yeah.
did.
Yeah. So I feel like a cool jean with like one of her really cool pairs of sneakers and like a really interesting jacket. Like I feel like it would be practical but still fun.
Right. I agree.
Serena would be like full Naomi Campbell wearing Dolce & Gabbana to – do community service. You know what I mean? It would be like legs out, hair teased. Like it would be a full on moment for sure.
It's a moment. But do you also feel like it's like fitting for it, but like extra?
Exactly.
Like it's definitely like you can move and do community service in it, but it's extra because it's Serena.
Exactly. Yeah. It costs like $5,000. But yeah.
But it works. Yeah. Okay. Well, I like that. But also speaking of fashion, you have recently left Fashionista and now you're a freelance writer.
Yeah, that is
right. I said that as a question when I knew that. well, that's awesome. How are you feeling good about that? I feel like change is always a little bit like scary, but in a good way because sometimes we're like.
It's definitely a little scary. I mean, I was at Fashionista for 10 years, a little bit over 10 years total. And I love the team. I love the site. It just felt like it was time to try something new. So I'll still be writing about fashion. I'm not going super far. I just wanted to do more writing and hopefully branching out a little bit more into like celebrity and pop culture writing. I have a couple personal projects I wanted to start working on, but I'm really excited.
That's awesome. I'm excited for you. I think you did such a great, wonderful job there. But I do know like, yeah, shifting into something or adding something new or taking what you're doing and putting it out there somewhere else is always exciting and fun. But like change again, like I said before, even if it's a great thing, is always a little bit scary. But I think that's a good thing. So I think that's awesome, girl.
Thanks. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I'm not worried about you, not one bit.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dive in. Here's where we left off. Blair found out that she was waitlisted at Yale while Serena was accepted. Blair decided to get revenge on the new teacher who gave her a B, and Chuck teamed up with Lily to save Bass Industries from Uncle Jack. Miss Carr exposed Blair's plotting and got her expelled from Constance. Ooh, Miss Carr, okay. When anyone wants to like line up with Blair, I'm like, ooh, careful, girl. And then here's the episode we're going into. In retaliation for not playing by the unspoken rules of Constance Billard, Blair hatches a plan to bring down her teacher, Rachel. After Chuck wakes up in a hotel and only has a minor recollection of what happened the previous evening, Nate and Vanessa try to help him fill in the missing pieces. Meanwhile, there's a lot going on with Dan and Rachel, and that's where we are for this episode. So this episode is so wild, and we know that Blair is given detention last time for hazing Miss Carr. So the episode starts with her, like we were just talking about, picking up trash in the park. So,
well, her Dorota pick up trash in the park.
That's what we're getting to. But also, it's Central Park, and she's in like a beautiful red, like, was it a pea coat? Like,
yeah.
I mean, she looks fierce. She looks amazing. The color is just like popping and beautiful and wonderful. And then, yes, we cut to. She literally has Dorota doing it and is just talking on the phone to Serena.
Yeah. I mean, talk about not learning a lesson.
Talk about, like, she does not give two shits.
Not even remotely. No.
Oh, my
gosh. I always wondered, like, Dorota puts up with so much. I mean, and I love Dorota, but she puts up with so much from Blair. Like, can you imagine? It's not your job to pick up trash because your charge has detention or whatever, you know?
Not at all. And she, like, does it. And the cutest thing about Dorota, she loves Blair so much and has such a big heart for her. So she does these things with and for her from a good, great place. And I also think deep down, Blair really loves and respects Dorota as well. But she just knows that she kind of can be bossy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Dorota allows it. Not that she can. That's actually not – it's not right. But exactly. Because Dorota kind of like goes with it, Blair gets away with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then her – you know, when her dad comes – which, by the way, I didn't realize this is the last time we see him until season 5.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, but I yeah. miss Harold. I love Harold.
Totally. He's just so cute. And that dog, handsome. Ugh. I mean,
and we never see handsome again.
I want to know what he's doing right now.
I know. I want a handsome spinoff.
Do you have a dog, by the way?
No, we just have a cat. Oh, that's she acts like a dog, but.
How long have you had the cat?
We've had her – so Sam, my husband, adopted her before we started dating. So 9 years now.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Which okay. apparently is elderly for cats.
Is it?
I didn't realize. Yeah, that's what her vet said, which is crazy to me because she's going to live another 20 years.
Oh, my God. Aw.
If you ask me.
Well, I just – this dog pops up on the screen and I get, like, super excited. And then you kind of forget about the dog because it's just so, like, sporadic. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think we see Handsome for ever again. Yeah.
He just disappears to France with Harold and never to be seen or heard from again.
I mean, he just goes – like, Handsome goes to France with Harold. I love that. That's like a spinoff show in itself.
I know. It would be so cute. Like a little animated series or something.
Right? Oh, my God. Anyways, okay. So now Blair's having to do this so that she can get back on track with school and with getting back into Yale. I mean, I'm talking about doing the community service because she keeps just kind of, I don't want to say barking up the wrong tree, but sometimes it's like what you're saying. Like she's not learning her lesson.
No, she can't get out of her own way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
She should just leave it alone because she has what she wants, but she won't.
No, she will not. We know that. How about first when she goes up to the girls, she's like, I made friends with the family of squirrels. Like, I'm just yeah. like, girl, I was, because yeah. I'm all so picturing Blair like sitting in Central Park, like talking to a squirrel. Like,
yeah. And it's funny because it's like, we know that she likes to go and feed the ducks. It's just right. such a funny situation to put her in is totally the 5 a.m. detention or whatever.
Yeah, it's too much. Okay, so we then go to Dan and Miss Carr are hanging out, and Dan has been showing Miss Carr his stories at the coffee shop before school, and she's like very into them. They bond over being outsiders compared to the students at Constance who are very rich and self-absorbed. And then in walks Serena and is like, oh, you two, you guys are hanging out. Miss Carr says Dan is an excellent writer. When Serena walks in here, I mean, she doesn't expect to see them, but also it's an awkward thing because it's their teacher.
It's so weird to me.
It's odd. It's odd. It's strange.
So inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. Like, it is. I mean, the conversation, if that was like outside of the school where people that you are all around and work with and it's your other students and friends are around, you know what I mean? It just doesn't feel as inappropriate. But because you guys are like by yourselves outside of school, off the school grounds, it seems weird. Do you know what I mean? It's not like they're having this horrible conversation about like what she looks in her looks like in her underwear. But this is
– it's just them meeting outside of school.
That's 100% is inappropriate.
It's just there's so much weird about Miss Carr. It's weird to me that Dan and Serena both call her Rachel. They both call her by her first name, which, like, maybe rich kids do that. I never would have done that in a million years. I'm trying to imagine calling, like, my high school senior English teacher by her first name. And I don't even remember what it is because I only know her last name, you know?
You're 100% right. It's absolutely really odd because I'll tell you what, I run into teachers now in my mid-30s and I still call them by their
absolutely.
I'm like, Mr. Hennis, how are you? You know what I mean? I know exactly what his first name is. My mom calls us by his first name. He had me in eighth grade. I mean, this was like, you know, so many years ago and I would still call him Mr. Hennis or Mr. DePew. You know what I mean?
And like, now I bet, I mean, some of my teachers now are fully retired. Like, you know what I mean? It's not you like they're still teaching even. And I would still be like,
that's what I'm saying. So yes.
Hi, Miss Almgren.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Okay, so this whole situation is I don't know. I feel like I don't think Dan was trying to go there. I think it's more on Miss Carr, to be honest.
Oh, 100, absolutely, 100%.
Okay, yeah. All right.
She should definitely know better. Like, she's the adult in the situation. She should know better.
100.
And it's also like, she's bonding with Dan, complaining about her students, which is also really unprofessional. Even if her students are horrible, which by and large they seem to be, they're like bonding over complaining about these people, which is also just so, everything about it is just so weird.
100%. So that's going on. And then we move on to Chuck wakes up. We can't tell right away. And then we soon learn that it's a hotel room and he's having these flashbacks from a party. And it seems, you know, kind of like smoky and dark and there was things happening. And then he notices a tattoo on his wrist while he's in this hotel room of symbols from the party. And he calls Nate and he basically he wants Nate to come and meet him because he can't figure out, like, he can't put the puzzle together of where he was the night before. And it was an ultimate private gentleman's club. And Nate and Vanessa show up and they're at this house. What were you thinking at this point? Like, I'm like,
this whole storyline is so out of, I kind of forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so out of left field. Well, because I wanted to ask you too. Like, I know you haven't watched it. But like, when you're filming this, do you remember anything about what that storyline was? Or are you just kind of...
Well, you know, it's funny. While watching this episode, I'm like, this kind of feels like a Eyes Wide Shut situation. Yes. I don't know if you remember that movie with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. This kind of feels like that, like with the mask and it's all secretive. And then Chuck says something along those lines, like later on in the episode. So I'm like, okay, that is what they were trying to do. Certain things like click with me. Like I remember, you know, playing the piano with Chase or Nate and Vanessa in that house. And by the way, that house was listed for like $38,650,000. Like that was an insane house that we were filming.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, I know. That's the number. I'm like, this is insane. Like you have to be like a billionaire to even have a house like that. We're not even just talking millions. We're talking like, you know what I'm saying?
That's insane. Yeah.
With a B. And then they see this family photo on the piano and Chuck says the woman holding the baby was there last night.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, what? So things are kind of coming back to him. But for me, it was really seemed shady to me, to be honest.
Yeah. It's so weird. And it's such a, like, he's trying to track down this woman who he can't really remember anything about, but is obsessed with. And it's like, how did you even know? He's like, I'm pretty sure I had the best night of my life, but he can't remember it. Which, like, I mean, for Chuck, kind of makes sense, right?
Right.
Chuck is very often having those kinds of nights. But it's coming off of all this drama with Uncle Jack and, like, his dad dying. And so I feel like they're trying to kind of help transition Chuck out of grieving, the, like, grieving for his dad and all that drama. And they're using the storyline to kind of get him back on track. It's just so interesting. I had forgotten all about it.
Yeah. So anyways, that's all going on there. And then we get back to school and Blair's there and she's talking with the minions and all of a sudden there's a no phone policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's trying to get the minions to help her take down Miss Carr and they don't want to because they've seen that people are starting to get punished. But then it turns out Miss Carr has helped initiate a no phone policy, and that's a no go for any of them.
Yeah, they're like, Hazel says something like, "Oh, yeah. This is my worst nightmare." Like, they basically are acting like the oxygen is being taken from them. Like, they can't breathe.
She's just sitting in the corner of the bathroom, kind of texting into thin air. And she's like, "Is a scandal still a scandal if you can't text about it?" or something like that. And it's like, they're not well because they can't get their Gossip Girl fix.
No. And here's, okay, so Miss Carr doing this, whether she was behind it or there's like a part of me that feels like, that's not completely wrong either. You know what I mean? I don't think the phones need to be taken, but there definitely needs to be like rules, like no texting or being on during class.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I remember when I was in school, which was like a million years ago, relatively speaking, you couldn't have phones in class.
No.
I don't know how you control it now when it's like their whole life is on their phone.
I just think there has to be boundaries or like a balance. Yeah. Like, I understand like kids nowadays and in high school need, you know, that is everything. That's their... how they look up things. That's how they get their music. That's how they watch TV. I mean, it's that there's so many things. And I understand that. I'm just meaning like, if you're going to be at school for 8 hours a day and there's no boundaries with your phone, like you can't be in two places at once. You know what I mean? Exactly. You know that when you sit at dinner with a friend and they check a text, they're checked out for a second. That's why I think a lot of times too at dinners and stuff, I think it's rude to have phones, but that's just me. Like, if you're going to spend time to try to catch up with someone, like, be
oh,
there.
Yeah. You put the phone away. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, take it out to get a photo for sure, but then let's, like, put
right.
it away.
Yeah.
Also, have you ever done that where you put the phone in the middle of the table and the first person to reach for theirs has to get the bill?
I haven't. I've heard about that. Have you done that?
We've done it many times. It's fun and it makes it kind of funny, but it's also great because you may not have to pay for dinner a few times.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you may. I'm like, well, that's Brad. I got to get it. So, or you put it in the first person's phone to go off, which is like,
oh, that's trickier. You can't control that.
Exactly. So I don't know.
Okay.
But there's fun little things to do so people aren't on their phones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, so Blair is like, I'm taking down Miss Carr. Like, this is what's happening. Who's with me? Like, and Dorota shows up all incognito, like coat, sunglasses, with her headdress still on. And she gives Blair a purse with phones in it. And Blair wants to use them to dig deep to find out Rachel's past. And she's basically like Mother Teresa, like they can't find anything.
Yeah.
And which is like a tough spot because that's where Blair like thrives. She gets one little thing and she like can run with it. So when they're like, she's basically Mother Teresa. I thought for sure they were going to get dirt right there in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I can never get over whenever I watch this scene that Dorota delivers all these cell phones in a Louis Vuitton purse.
I mean,
it's very funny to me. But yeah, you're expecting them to dig up dirt because that's what Blair is best at. And then, yeah, of course, when they can't find anything, she's like, it's time to make something up.
Right?
Yeah. Which is, you know, not an ideal situation, not a good thing for her to do. And this is what we were talking about earlier, where it's like she has what she wants and she should just leave well enough alone. And she just can't, because she can't let this person, Blair can't let somebody else have the upper hand.
No, she can't. And she will do anything,
including lie.
Right. We learn a lot about that in this episode.
Yes.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So they find that like there's nothing they can do. And when Blair notices Dan and Miss Carr in the hallway, she goes to text Gossip Girl, Lonely Boy and Miss Carr.
Yeah, she says Mary Kay Letourneau alert.
Yeah.
I remember that. I feel like it was such a big thing. I think it happened. I can't remember how old I was when it happened, but it was such a big story.
Yeah. Well, I know she pleaded guilty in 1997. Basically, she was an American teacher who pleaded guilty for two accounts of felony second degree rape. And it was her sixth grade student.
Yeah. They had a baby together. Didn't they ultimately like get married and have a baby together?
I don't really know where it went, but now I really need to know that. But I know that was like the thing because it was super, I mean, the teacher was having an affair with her sixth grade student, which is like
super inappropriate.
Insane and inappropriate. Yeah,
beyond crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So here's Blair saying Lonely Boy and Miss Carr and throwing in Mary Kay. I mean, like to compare that situation to that is like really crazy when she saw them in the hall talking to each other.
Exactly. But it's like, very Blair to just ramp up the drama to something.
For sure. So I don't know. She even says something, when the truth fails you, you have no choice but to abandon it. Make something up, idiots. Like that's what she looks and says. And I'm like, wow. But that's like really going far, far, far.
She also delivers one of my like all time favorite Blair lines in that scene, which is something like, once again, the universe has proven anything you can do, I can do better.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Which is just like classic Blair.
Yeah. Anything you can do, I can do better. Isn't that how it
exactly
went?
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Dan sees the blast. And as Dan heads to the courtyard, everyone is high-fiving him, and he wasn't sure why. He also, I find it funny, because he sees the blast on Jenny's hand, which
Jenny's
I like.
Jenny's written it out on her hand. Yeah, which is very funny. Very old-school way of passing around rumors.
Oh, my God. That's how he finds out, because he's, like, looking all around, like, why is it? They're, like, whispering things to him, high-fiving him. And then Jenny comes and sits with him, and it says, is Lonely Boy giving a certain new teacher more than just an apple? And Dan says he and Miss Carr, that would be absurd, but Jenny says he needs to convince Serena. And Dan asks, who would do something like this to Miss Carr? And Serena realizes that it's Blair. Blair's the one behind it. And Dan finds Blair in the ladies' room to say he knows that she sent the rumor to Gossip Girl. I also feel like I see that scene happen quite a bit, like Blair and Dan, where he knows it's her. He confronts her. She doesn't really lie to Dan. She kind of is just like, well, you know what I mean? Like, don't you feel like that's happened quite a bit?
Yes. I love the Dan and Blair dynamic. I know that that's
me too.
A topic of much debate, I think. But I really love the Dan and Blair dynamic because they're just antagonizing each other all the time.
Totally.
But they understand each other in a way.
I couldn't agree more. They understand each other. They are going at each other, but they're also both coming at it from totally different ways. Like Dan's trying to tell the truth and rationalize. And she's kind of like, well, it is what it is. And this is what I need. And I don't care. And like, how are you going to tell me? So it's like they're both arguing or doing this kind of uphill fight.
Yeah.
From two different ends. But like in her mind, she's 100% right. And in his mind, he's doing the right thing. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yeah. And it also always puts Serena kind of in the middle. Well, I guess it depends every on time. Whether Serena and Blair are fighting, but it always puts Serena kind of in the middle of like defending her best friend or being on her boyfriend's side. And like, this is extra complicated because she and Dan are in kind of a weird spot.
Totally.
During all of this where they're like not really talking as much or hanging out as much.
But also like, I think that 99% of the time, she takes Blair's side, even if she's good with Dan, which is kind of why I'm always like, wow, Serena really is a good friend. And then I have to also go back. I'm like, it's crazy because I think she's such a good friend to her. And then I'm also like, but she like went and slept with her boyfriend in the beginning of the show. But yeah, I do think that she is put in a situation many times, but I feel like she kind of always kind of has Blair's back.
Yeah. He's prepared for Serena to take Blair's side.
So he knows about it. He saw the blast on Jenny's hand because they don't have phones. They can't. There's a no phone policy. And then Serena finds Rachel outside at the coffee truck. As Rachel is noticing that everyone's looking at her, she mentions like, do I feel like I have spinach in my teeth because people are staring? She's like, but I went to the bathroom and checked and it's not. And Serena kind of explains to her like what's going on, which is when she has to explain what it is, like when you have to explain what Gossip Girl is to someone new on the show, it's always funny to me because I'm like, this girl has zero clue.
No idea what's going on. And of course, it sounds like such a ridiculous thing to explain.
It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But to truly not know why everyone's staring at you, what's going on, and it's because of Gossip Girl and Serena's breaking it down for you, but you did a no phone policy before that. Why did she do the no phone policy? Because kids.
Yeah, exactly. Because if she didn't know what was happening with Gossip Girl, maybe she thought they were just all texting each other
too much. Like we were saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like maybe it was a texting.
Okay.
It's also so interesting because Serena's explaining Gossip Girl to Rachel.
Yeah.
And she says something like, at least we think she's a girl or we think it's a girl.
Right.
Because they don't know who Gossip Girl is. And, right. Like, this is one of those situations where it's really funny to watch the show back for me, knowing that at the end, Dan is Gossip Girl. Because there are times like this where you're like, this truly is psychopathic behavior that Dan would publish this own blast about him sleeping with his teacher.
Right.
It's very funny to me to think about. It's like, and also, how did he do it? Because he didn't have a phone.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's funny to think about.
Right. This is true. But also, like, when people can give a tip to Gossip Girl, he's going through it and deciding what goes on or what doesn't. Right? So even if...
Yeah. So
Dan, what are you doing, dude?
I know. This is what I mean. It's very funny to watch because I don't often remember. Like, it's, you know, I get caught up in the storytelling as it is. But sometimes you're watching it and you're like, oh, right. Dan is Gossip Girl.
Yeah. Okay. I just – I'm, like, curious as to why she wanted the no phone policy unless this is all – maybe that, you know, in two episodes we find out that she did know and whatever and this was a whole plan. But she – it doesn't feel like that right now. All right, Ms. Carr, you just needed the kids to pay attention. We can get behind that.
Yeah.
meanwhile, Chuck meets with the realtor selling the building he remembers that the club was in. And he bribes her with the bass industry connections. And she kind of says something along the lines of, well, I could leave a file out, you know, while I go get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
This realtor and Chuck goes through it. He calls the family number and asks to speak with the nanny. He leaves a message, which leads the nanny, her name is Elle, which I love that name, to meet up with him. She tells Chuck she was at the party to meet Bart. And she drugged Chuck when she realized that she had the wrong Mr. Bass and left him at the hotel room to keep him safe. She was afraid what will happen if the group finds out that she let an outsider in and tells him not to contact her again.
It's so dramatic.
It's so dramatic. I'm like, you drugged someone.
A teenager.
You drugged a teenager and left him at a hotel room. And I mean.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, she says like, oh, I took over another girl's client list and I didn't realize Bart was dead, which is, you know, fair. I mean, you know, she doesn't live in the city full time. Maybe she missed the headlines. But yeah, she accidentally invited a teenager to their gentleman sex club.
Right.
Who's thinking an outsider.
Well, can we also talk about like, it's not even a funny laughing matter, but like Chuck, he got drugged and he's just like moving past it. I'm like, how do you, what if there's something you don't know that happened? You know what I mean? Or there is, there's things you don't remember and you're just like looking at this girl thinking it's okay. Like that's not okay.
Yeah. He's just so obsessed with her. He's just so obsessed with finding her because he thinks that they had the best night ever together. But I
right.
don't know how.
So he's only remembering. Remember right. Yeah. He's remembering what he wants to remember, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, yeah. And then we got Blair over here in the headmistress's office and she's getting expelled. They're basically calling Blair out. And then they also say that they have a witness, basically. When they said that and they turned back to the room to see who's going to walk in, I thought it was Serena.
Oh, interesting.
I was thinking Serena was walking in. And
I thought it was going to be Penelope.
Oh, yeah. Nope. It was Nelly Yuki. But I don't know why. I'm like, just because Nelly's so timid and scared and wants to fit in, I was like, why would she do that right now? Because she knows she's going to go down.
I think because she didn't want to lose Yale. Because she was on the wait list, I think.
Okay. Yep.
I don't remember now. But yeah, they said that Dan knew to put pressure on the weak link, which turns out to be Nelly. And I'm trying to remember, I think it's earlier in this season when Jenny tries to start an uprising against Blair, right? And she like recruits Nelly at one point.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like Nelly is kind of her loyalty is easily changed, I think. And it's not like Blair is super nice to her anyway.
No. But I just didn't expect that when she walked in.
Oh, no. Of course.
Yeah. Well, and then back at home, Blair's talking with her dad, and he warns Blair that Miss Carr has a legitimate case for slander if Blair really did do this. And Blair said that she did, but it was because it was the truth. And her dad is, you know, he's looking at his daughter and he wants to support her. And you want to believe your kids. You know what I mean? He was giving her the opportunity to be honest with him. You give your children, I want to say, I mean, Bowie is just starting to talk, so she hasn't been able to lie to me yet.
Yeah.
But you want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're being honest with you and there's a respect there. So, you know, he's going to support her. So he's going to get his lawyers involved to defend Blair, which in this case, I'd probably do the same thing because he's literally looking at her, giving her a time to be honest, and she decides really not to.
Yeah. And also, I mean, Harold lives in France most of the time, so he doesn't really, I think, have an understanding of like how Blair is,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the same way that like Eleanor does. Like he's not privy to her scheming.
No, he's not. And I do think even, you know, that's his little girl. Like you still probably want to believe that she's telling the truth, mm-hmm. even if you can. But I do agree. I think he really truly believes her in this moment. Yeah. I just feel like right in that moment, I'm like, oh, Blair, that you have the opportunity to just be honest and he will still love and support you.
Yeah. But she can't.
No.
She just can't let it go.
Yeah. And then Serena goes to meet Miss Carr at the park and asks her to reconsider the expulsion, and Rachel just won't do it. It's like not an option. And you know what? Like in Rachel's defense, Miss Carr's defense, like I don't know what to call her now. I'm like, is it Rachel or Miss Carr?
I know.
I mean, she's like, Blair posted a rumor that threatened, you know, Miss Carr's future. So I can understand where she's having a hard time to like take that back, but I do again here respect Serena stepping up to the plate for her best friend and being the homie that she's being. But Miss Carr is saying like the sole purpose of Gossip Girl is to allow people to post terrible things about each other.
Yeah.
And everyone in the episode keeps being like, well, Blair's future's on the line here. Like, you know, Lily says it, Serena says it. And I'm like, yeah, but she created this for herself. She literally decided to make up a rumor, you know, insinuating that these two are sleeping together when they weren't, which is very damaging to the teacher and damaging to Dan. So,
yeah.
And people are like, but Blair's future. I'm like, well, she fucked up.
I think it's such a, for me watching this episode, and it's been a little bit since I've seen it, but it's interesting to me because it sort of predates this conversation that I think that we've been having in recent years about like quote unquote cancel culture and how that affects teenagers, right? Where it's like, should a teenager be permanently, again, quote unquote, canceled? Like, should they have to lose their college entry or whatever because they did something stupid when they were a teenager? And like, these are all conversations that we're having now that we definitely were not having when this episode aired.
Absolutely.
So like,
not.
To me, that's really interesting about this whole, like, but what about Blair's future? It's like, yeah, she almost destroyed this woman's teaching career by starting this rumor that she was sleeping with a student.
Well, and Dan's involved here too. You know what I mean? And then that it triggers on, it's like a domino effect. But I do see what you're saying. Like, if we were doing this podcast while this was airing, people weren't having these conversations. It would be like, right?
Yeah, it would be so much, I think, I don't want to say more simple, but it's just a different conversation that we're having today.
Yeah. I just watching it, I'm just like, I don't understand why everyone keeps saying that about Blair.
Well, because they're all rich and entitled and Miss Carr isn't.
Right. But I mean, she really, really was put on blast in a rumor that threatened her future. Like, she wasn't wrong when she's explaining that to Serena. I was like irritated. Yeah. I'm like, Blair pissed me off. I'm like, that's not right. It's not cool. Because also I was looking at it like if Miss Carr was my daughter, I'd be like, who is this girl that just blatantly made up something that's like taking you down. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then I'm looking at it like for a school like Yale, do you want to accept a girl that's just willing to like throw anyone under the bus about something that's not even accurate or correct?
Right.
I don't know. No, and you know, I'm like a Blair fan. I just was like very upset with her in this situation because it's
sometimes
like
Blair does things that are very hard to defend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she'll like in the next scene, I'm sure we'll be like, but we love her and she's amazing and can do no wrong.
Exactly.
Oh, did we even get to where? Okay. They're sitting and talking and then Serena sees her date book. Right. And so she snoops into that. So she finds information in this date book and later goes to see where Miss Carr, or who Miss Carr is with. And
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Who do you think she's with, guys?
I mean, of course.
She's of course with Dan, and it looks like they may kiss. It looks like they may, but she did not see them kiss. So for her to take the photo and assume and do all of that, I think is really wrong too.
Yeah, it's just sometimes Serena is so insecure and especially insecure about her relationship with Dan. And instead of just talking to Dan, first of all, about what's been going on anyway, but also seeing him with Miss Carr and assuming that they're about to hook up or whatever, she takes it straight to Blair. Which you have to know that Blair's going to...
She's going to take it and run with it. Blair says something too, like, this is the smoking gun that I've been waiting for when she shows the picture. And I'm like, oh my God, you too. Because... of course she's going to go do something with that. That's what she needs to back up her thing. And we know she's not afraid to lie about it. So she's doing that. But honestly, Serena was in the wrong too. Because someone said something to me years ago. Like, you can't assume things because when you assume things, you have it in your mind a certain way that they may not be. So when you find out what actually went down or what's going on and it wasn't what you assume, you're going to be let down.
Yeah.
And I always remember that I thought that advice was really good. So
yeah.
Serena assuming that that's what happened is really making – she's just adding fuel to the fire right now because she assumes something, which is not fair, which, again, isn't fair to anyone involved, including Serena. I don't know. Especially
because, like, she's also – at this point, she's, I mean, friends with Miss Carr, like, friendly with Miss Carr.
I mean, she calls her Rachel. Let's be honest.
They all call her Rachel. I'm very confused by this still. Yeah, she, like, calls her Rachel and they talk about – assignments together and all this stuff. I mean, they also have been meeting outside of school. So it's like, I don't know. She could have just asked, she could have walked in, she could have done anything, but it would have made for less interesting TV. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, gosh, this episode, man.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com.
That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And then at the parents' committee meeting, Harold shows up and meets Lily and Rufus, and he's there to represent his daughter since Blair's being scapegoated, and Rufus says that Dan is being slandered. And, you know, at this parent meeting, Lily takes Blair's side, and Blair shows up even though the meeting is closed off to students. But, like, if anyone's going to walk in there, of course it's Blair. And she tells Queller to check her email that there's a photo from that Serena took, and here we are. Okay, so Lily takes Blair's side in this, like what we were just talking about. Like, this is Blair's future. And again, I go back to, well, it is, but she got herself into this mess. And very, I'm not going to say easily, but I am. Blair easily could have just said, you know what? It was dishonest, or I was mistaken and it's not right. And that could maybe help clear this up a little bit. But she just keeps taking it one step further. Then she gets a picture that, again, Serena assumes something and pushes it further. But meanwhile, they're all going off of something that they don't know for a fact. Dan straight up told Serena it wasn't happening. Blair literally has no leg to stand on, even with this picture.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing that I think is really interesting too here is that Blair isn't Gossip Girl, right? Like, Blair sent in the tip, but she didn't publish it. And I don't think they, like, quite understand how Gossip Girl works. They're like, well, you publish this thing.
Right.
But, like, a lawyer would have cleared this up immediately and been like, well, Blair didn't publish it. Whoever published Gossip Girl published it, so she can't be punished. You know?
Correct.
And instead, we're going through this the hard way. But, you know, that's the way it goes.
This is true, though. And with that, Ms. Carr gets fired because we don't have a lawyer here to explain and break this
down. Exactly.
And Serena's texting Dan to meet her at Constance ASAP. And Dan tells her he didn't kiss Ms. Carr or Rachel. I didn't kiss Rachel, but it's too late. The parents' committee meeting has ended with Ms. Carr being fired. Blair is allowed back at Constance. Dan confronts Blair about it, and Blair admits it, which I was like, oh my God, I forgot this moment. I remember this in the script, which her dad overhears. And for me, I was kind of pumped about that because she had the opportunity to tell him, and here he is fighting for her. And she's, you know, so I was kind of pumped he overheard that. That was a big moment for me.
she loves her. Her dad is clearly her favorite parent, right? I think she and Eleanor have kind of a complicated relationship, but she really idealizes
for sure
Harold, who doesn't live at home. And so to have Harold be so disappointed in her and see her for who she is, right? Like, this is kind of Blair at her worst. Like, this is who she is. It's kind of, I think it's an important moment. I think it's important for Blair, for sure. And, like, important for Harold. It's really heartbreaking because she really does love her dad so much. And is
she does. Is,
doesn't want to disappoint him, but can't help herself. Can't stop scheming.
No. Yeah. Well, I was, I was happy you overheard it. And in this moment, Dan asked Serena why she was so ready to believe the worst. And Serena said she thinks a part of her wanted to believe the worst and they decided it's really over. So they're there again.
Again. Yeah.
It's one of those moments that's happened several times where he's just like, Serena, but why? And she's honest. She's like, she never really lies to Dan. I mean, when they finally get to the point where it's where there's so many things on fire going on, she'll be honest with what she really thought. And he's just always like, I don't know. I just felt like I was disappointed in these girls this episode. I know things happen all the time, but I'm just like,
sometimes it's hard not to be disappointed in them. It's like, you guys are acting ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you feel what I'm saying though? Like, there's so many things that have happened. But like I told you in the beginning of this episode, for some reason, this was hitting me in different ways. And I don't know if it's because here's a moment in these kids' lives where they're trying to get in these really, really hard schools to get into. They've all worked really hard. Their parents are trying to support them and be there for them. And then they're just like playing with fire. And it's pissing me off. I'm like, don't be overprivileged and rude and like trying to, you're so selfish and self-absorbed that you don't care that you're recklessly like making up rumors and assumptions and doing things to people. Like, I was pissed.
Yeah. And like, you know, kind of ruining people's lives.
That's what I'm
who
saying.
Don't this have isn't the like resources to fix it.
Exactly. You know? And this was at a time too where I feel like nowadays, if something goes on, you can kind of go on a platform or you can speak for yourself or say something if it felt out of line or out of, you know, something in that world. Where at this point, it was kind of just rumors and people couldn't back themselves up. You know what I mean? Like, if this happened now and this was absolutely not true and Dan and Rachel didn't hook up, they could maybe speak for themselves and come up and be like, hey, for everyone that just got that blast, that's incorrect. Like, we have not, you know?
Yeah. But they can't defend themselves.
No. And I'm not saying on a platform you can completely defend yourself nowadays. It's still, there's so many things that go into it. But I feel like there's just, people have more of a voice today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's so many other outlets.
Yeah.
That you have that you can kind of be more on top of that.
For sure. Well, that's all going on. Miss Carr's fired.
Yeah. So they fire Mrs. Carr. And we have to check back in with Chuck and Elle. So Chuck is still on this mission to find her. So he finds in his dad's safe a box of invitations from the secret club, like past invitations, which I'm fascinated that Bart even kept those at all. But that's another point.
But what do you mean kept him? He doesn't.
He kept all these invites. They're secret invites. Why wouldn't you? Oh, I would burn them.
Burn them. I thought you meant like kept them. Like, I'm like, he's died. So he doesn't. Maybe he was would have burned them. But he like
maybe
didn't know.
But he was too late. This is why you burn things as soon as you read them.
Okay. I see. I feel you. You know? Okay. I'm like, what do you mean? Okay.
I'm thinking if I'm thinking like a dastardly rich man.
Right.
I'm okay. Burning those as soon as I can.
Right.
but maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I also don't have like a locked safe in my office.
Right.
So.
But no, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. Get rid of them.
So he's looking at these invites and he gets a call from the father of the kids that Elle is the nanny for, saying that Elle had called them from Grand Central but never got off the train in Greenwich and they're worried about her. So now we're getting the vibe that like this secret club is real bad.
Well, bad. And like, I was like, I didn't want this to come back and like haunt Bart. Like, he's gone. We like liked what he said in the, you know, what he was trying to do, that he trusted, you know, Chuck to take over Bass Industries, even though they had such a strange relationship that like meant a lot when Chuck heard that. Like, there was things that like came up after he passed that kind of like put him in a different light. So yeah. When this came up, I'm like, no, don't come back to like haunt Bart Bass.
Yeah. Poor Bart. Well, not poor Bart. He's a terrible person. But you think that he's going to get like a redemption.
That's what I mean. And then it's like, here you go. Oh, what would you do if you found that? Like what? You went in your parents' safe and found invitations to a secret. It's basically a secret sex club.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's clear it's like a secret sex club. I don't know. Imagine finding that out about your parents. I mean, I know Chuck and Bart had like a very different relationship than like I have with my parents at the very least. I don't know. I don't know what I would make of that. I just wouldn't go snoop. If I had a dad like Bart Bass, I would just leave his things alone. You know?
Yeah. But imagine in Chuck's situation, like he doesn't remember everything. True. He was drugged. So I think he's trying to like put pieces of the puzzle together.
That's true. He's trying to solve this mystery.
Oh my God. It's just,
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And then we get to Headmistress Queller is at the penthouse talking to Lily and Rufus. And Rufus says Rachel never should have met a student she didn't even teach after school off hours. And that is correct, Rufus.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about that. She doesn't even teach Dan. So why is she hanging out with Dan at all?
You know, I didn't really know that until Rufus said that as well. Like they didn't shine light on it or didn't, you know, they didn't show us him in class with her or without. They just didn't really touch on it. So I kind of assumed she was his teacher, but that's super odd that she wasn't, even more so. By the way, Lily is also like, she's the head of the parent council.
Yeah.
And she's like, I thought you would want to know. So I'm like, okay, Lily's the head of this. Rufus's son is in the middle of this like scandal going on. Her daughter's best friend is the one who kind of created it all. Her daughter added fuel to the fire. She's in the middle of all
She
of
gets
it.
To have like decision-making power, basically.
Yeah. But I'm like, how more in the middle could you be with all the people involved in this, Lily? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. And Queller says that the board doesn't have enough proof to fire Rachel, so she'll be here for the rest of the semester.
It's so...
Yeah.
It's such a typical, like, rich person quagmire, I feel like, where it's like they don't want to get sued and they don't want the attention of getting sued.
Right.
It's not even that they don't want Rachel to sue. They just don't want the press of being sued by a teacher for wrongful termination.
Right. Or this just getting out. I don't even know if it got as far as like, you know, the lawsuit. I don't know. I mean, this is wild.
This whole episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Because then I like also look back at it. They don't have enough proof, but then it's like the proof you had, you were willing to do this. You were willing to, you did fire her. You literally did fire her not that long ago.
Yep. And then you unfired her.
Yeah. So what do you mean? What proof? The assumption that Serena had?
Exactly.
Yeah. And now, of course, Dan comes through and wants to take responsibility for the situation. But like we said before, is he to blame, Tyler?
No, I mean, no. Right? Like, yes and no, but like ultimately, no. You know, he's not the adult. He's 18. I mean, they say that he's 18. But Mrs. Carr / Rachel is the person with authority and power in that situation who should really know better.
She really should. Right? Yeah. And before we even like Serena goes to see her and she talks about the essay and Miss Carr says something like the unexpected irony of what Serena's essay ended up being about, like new observations about the world around her.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was brilliant. Like, here you go. Like, here's your essay. But you just did a whole thing about basically what you just did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of there was like a moment. Before Miss Carr says that to her, she tells her that she's the only teacher that ever expressed any interest in her and that she had ruined it. Which, yeah, you did, Serena. Yeah. I was like happy when she said that and she's like, yep, and the unexpected irony. I'm like, yes, thank you. This is what I've been going through this whole episode. And then also when Blair and her dad are talking and she said, well, I was right. And he said, no, you were lucky.
Yeah.
And they have this conversation and he says something along the lines of, about what school she wants to go to. It's not about that. It's what kind of person you grow up to be. And I was like, boom, boom, boom. That's also what I was talking about this whole episode. It's not okay to just like, because you were, you know, right. No, you were lucky, Blair. And it was rude and it was dishonest and it wasn't right and it's not cool and you need to learn from it. And Serena, you too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you said, stop making assumptions. about the world. And also, you know, in Blair's case, like, stop trying to force things to go your way constantly. That's not how the world works.
No, it doesn't. And soon, once you're out of this, like, little Upper East Side world, like, the real world will bite you in the butt, girls. You can't be acting like this.
Yep.
Okay, so then Dan and Rachel, he wants to make this right. So he shows up at Rachel's house to apologize. He says that the hug was wildly inappropriate and he doesn't know what came over him at that time. And Rachel kisses him and brings him inside. And she says, I don't teach at Constance anymore. I know.
Such a bad idea. Even if you don't teach at Constance anymore, you're still, what, like 24, 25 years old? You're still like 8 years older than the student.
Right.
Like, it's, oh my God.
Yep. And well, and then Serena is calling Dan and leaving a message at this time, apologizing, saying she wants to forget the whole Miss Carr thing, that it ever happened. But Dan and Miss Carr are having sex in this moment, at this time. Oh my God. And the song with a heavy heart is going on. But let me, okay, so now, Tyler, this is what's so messed up. This is what's effed up. Now, I'm like, well, were Blair and Serena really that off?
I know. Well, like, that's like Blair says when Serena shows her the picture, she's like, wow, I must have picked up on a vibe. And like, she's not totally wrong, right? Like, there is a vibe happening this episode between Dan and Rachel. I mean, she still lied. She still made it up. She was not right.
Right. But I'm saying this is why I'm like was fuming at times of this episode. Like, screw you guys. That's messed up. Blah, 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 blah. And then we get to 30 seconds left of the show and they're having sex. And I'm like, maybe Blair and Serena weren't wrong.
Yeah. You're like, well, whoops.
Well. Oh, my God. Anyways, I'm also going to hand you off the Gossip Girl quote.
So this is the closing Gossip Girl quote. They say every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And once something is set in motion, it can't help but build momentum. One thing is certain on the Upper East Side. What goes around comes around. XOXO, Gossip Girl.
Yes.
Aww. That was fun.
That was super fun.
That feels very powerful.
All in all, I just feel like this episode for some reason really hit me in a different way. But then again, at the very end, when they're getting it on, I'm like, maybe I had no reason to be so,
so upset this
so
whole time.
So upset for 40 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What is your, do you know in season two, like what's your favorite episode of season two?
Oh, or is that a hard... a really good question. Well, I love the opener, the Hamptons episode.
Yep.
Is great. So good.
I can't believe we're still on the same season. I know.
It goes on so long. Because of the writer's strike, it goes on so much longer because it makes up for, like, it's 25 episodes instead of 22 or whatever.
Yeah, I do remember that because we were filming a lot longer than the 8 or 9
forever.
Months.
Yeah.
But when you just brought up the Hamptons, I cannot believe still from this episode
it's the same season.
It's insane.
Yeah. I love the episode, the next episode after this too, where they do the play, The Age of Dissonance.
Oh my God. Okay.
That's a really fun one.
I haven't seen it. I can't wait.
Oh my God. It's really fun. They kind of really go off script.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're going to enjoy watching it.
I can't wait.
I just like this episode and season one are my two favorites. So it's hard to pick. Like one favorite out of that.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to get through it and then I can maybe pick. Yeah. Going back. But even now going back, I can't like separate which is which. To me, it's like, it's been a long movie.
It's a long. Yeah, exactly. Well, especially if you're watching it kind of all at once as a rewatch. But
yeah,
it's fine. They bring like the next episode, they bring Carter Bazin back. Like it's.
Aww, that's awesome.
It's fun.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Did you want us to look out for anything right now?
No, I don't have any. You know, I have a lot of freelance stories I've picked up that are in the works. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
But I'm just out and about. I'm just on the internet, you know?
You go, girl. Just surfing that.
Exactly.
Amazing. Tyler, what more can I say? You always bring another little flavor to these rewatches. Thank you so much for joining me and
being there for the ups and downs and weirdly inappropriate student-teacher relationships. And for you listeners, catch you next week for another Gossip Girl Rewatch. Make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment on my Instagram about anything you want to see in the upcoming episodes. You're all amazing. Have a beautiful day, and I'll see you soon. XOXO is produced by Propagate Content and me, Jessica Zor. Our show is executive produced by Ling Lee. Our producers are Diego Tapia, Kristen Vermilia, Emily Carr, and Hannah Harris. Original music by Moxie and Loon, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.